program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're covering some amazing topics today. During the first hour, we're going to have Eric Potratz on from Primordial Performance comparing two of the new Andro Series 3 products, that is Andro Bulk versus Andro Mass. We'll understand why, how, and when to use these products. Then we're going to have Dr. John Chrysler coming on. Intramuscular may not be the way to go for oil injections of testosterone, cypionate, and other types of hormones. We're going to be talking about subcutaneous injections, something I experimented with and talked about openly well over a year ago, and the medical professionals are now starting to get with the program. We're going to be talking about that. And then during the second hour, we're going to be talking to Mark Schatzker. He is the author of Steak, One Man's Pursuit to Find the Finest Tasting Piece of Beef and where it led him in his travels. So stay tuned for that interview as well. Okay, let's get right to it. Eric Potratz, owner of Primordial Performance, a proud sponsor of Superhuman Radio. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, doing good, Carl.
Okay. As promised, we're going to do a brief hard hit to discuss the differences between Andro Mass and Andro Bulk. First of all, these are both designed during a period where someone wants to acquire greater muscle mass, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what is the difference, first of all, chemically or actively between Andro Mass and Andro Bulk?
Well, we typically refer to our Andro Mass as the equivalent to testosterone. It's going to produce results very similar. It has the 4-DHEA and the DHT precursors, androsterone and epiandrosterone. So it's going to produce a very androgenic punch to it. We look at it as the strongest formula for producing just sheer strength because of this. And Andro Bulk, on the other hand, is not as androgenic, so it's not going to produce quite as much strength and aggression, but it's going to produce probably the equal amount of muscle mass because they're equivalent anabolically.
So sheerly, just because of strength, someone would use one over the other?
Possibly, yeah. If, you know, they're a power lifter and they really want to get every ounce of strength out of their muscle mass as possible, the Andro Mass is going to be a better choice. But if you're prone to androgenic hair loss, if you're worried about acne, if you're worried about prostate swelling, if you don't want the added aggression, then the Andro Bulk is going to be a gentler choice.
Comparing Andro Mass to exclusively test, we know that a lot of professional athletes in the off season will use very, very high doses of test, and they invite the aromatization because the estrogen actually helps pull more water into the muscle and makes them more bulky and swollen looking. Are they going to get that? Is there an aromatization factor involved in the Andro Mass?
Yes, both Andro Mass and Andro Bulk are going to aromatize. They're both going to be estrogenic. The mass is just going to be more androgenic as well.
So, okay. All right. Should someone be stacking this if they're taking higher than recommended doses? We'll talk about doses in a minute. Should somebody be stacking this with an aromatase inhibitor of some sort?
No, I don't think that's needed. I mean, the mass already has the DHT precursors in there, and those are acting as natural aromatase inhibitors already. So it's sort of handling the estrogen issue there with mass. And then with Bulk, it's designed to be estrogenic, you know, because it's designed to put on the muscle mass
right
in Bulk. So I wouldn't, you know, take that step forward and take that step back, you know.
Does one cause a greater degree of water retention than the other? It sounds like Bulk causes a greater degree of water retention. Is that correct?
You know, I think they're about equal. I was actually talking to Matt about this last night. The Bulk has a progestational component, which is actually a natural diuretic. So I think that they're both going to produce about the same amount of water retention. One major difference, though, with the Bulk is that it has stronger anti-inflammatory properties. So if you have sore joints, like if your joints are stiff, this is going to help reduce that. And so you're going to be able to lift in greater comfort, you know, with less stiff joints.
Okay. Okay. All right. So what is the recommended dose? Let's start out with AndroMass.
AndroMass, well, they're both, you both use them at six soft gels. You know, six soft gels is the full dose. You take it once a day, and it covers you for 24 hours until you take your next dose.
So there's no need to be taking it throughout the day any longer. We talked about that during the last show, but that is part of the new evolution of the Andro series, correct?
Right, exactly, yeah. One dose a day keeps your blood levels elevated in a natural curve.
Right.
Naturally elevated, yeah.
Right, right. So and as a result, there is less hypothalamic shutdown, less feedback to the body that the body should stop producing its own androgens, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, we were testing LH and FSH 24 hours after the dose mid-cycle, and we were finding that the LH was still at a normal range.
Cool. Cool.
So, and you know, and this is while guys are gaining 10, 12 pounds, you know, after 4 weeks. So it's pretty cool.
Now, should someone ease into a dose if they've never used any type of performance-enhancing products before? Should they start out with two a day and see how that makes them feel? Is there any neurosteroid activity here?
I that's a good question, and a lot of people ask that. I do not recommend easing into androgens. You need to surpass a certain threshold to see gains. You need to hit it hard and fast.
I meant for the first day. Like, take two caps the first day, four the second day, six the third day, to see how you feel on it. That's what I meant.
If you're going to do it within a three-day period, then that's probably okay. You know, you're probably not wasting too much time there, and, you know, you can try that. But we more recommend that for Andro Drive, which is more of a neurological.
Okay, and we don't want to talk about that now. So, okay, so in this case here, you shouldn't have a problem just taking the full dose right from the get-go and moving on. How long of a cycle do you recommend for these two products?
We're recommending eight-week cycles, and that's because these are primarily genomic in nature, the Andro series products, as opposed to ionic. And this actually kind of lines up with the Bill Roberts theory, where he would talk about class 1, class 2 compounds.
Yeah, I was a big fan of his, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Class 1, where basically compounds would bind very strongly to the AR, the androgen receptor, and then class 2 were compounds that did not bind very strongly. So genomic is essentially class 1, and then ionic is class 2. I think it's a little bit more of an appropriate scientific term for these different types of steroids. But the ionic basically means that it's swelling your cells with ions very quickly. This is a rapid effect that happens within minutes to hours once the steroid's in the blood, whereas genomic means that it's affecting the DNA, it's affecting protein synthesis, it's a longer-acting effect. You know, it takes longer to see these results, but the results will stick with you much longer.
So this is genomic, you said?
Yes, primarily. Okay. Andro series are primarily genomic. All steroids are both to some degree. They're just, you know, methylated steroids are going to be heavily ionic.
Right. Okay.
You know, they're going to cause that quick swelling.
So people would use these for 8 weeks, and then do you recommend a recovery period after that with any type of agents, or just take off completely?
You just stop, you know, all at once after the 8 weeks, and the next day you begin your PCT.
Okay.
We have products for that. You know, you would run your PCT for 30 days. The blood tests that we've done show that if you do this cycle for 8 weeks and you use our PCT products, you'll be back to normal after 30 days.
Well, how much of your gains will you maintain after the PCT?
That's one of the cool things about Andro Series, is that everybody that we're testing is keeping pretty much all of their gains.
What do you attribute that to?
The lack of shutdown during the cycle. They're recovering very quickly. They're getting back to normal testosterone within a couple weeks, so they're able to really, you know, prevent that post cycle drop in protein synthesis and keep their gains. So,
you know, we have to go into a commercial break here in a moment. What I want to talk about when we come back is the application of these two agents. They seem so similar to each other that, I mean, it almost seems like bulk is the better way to go, even if you don't have sensitivities to androgens. However, I want to discuss where you see the application line dividing, so that people out there can understand when they should be ordering these and for what reasons. We're talking with Eric Potratz. You can learn more about the Andro series by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Primordial Performance banner ad. These are great products, folks, and these are not harmful to you. And especially when used properly, you will see the gains that are promised here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Dr. John Crystal will be talking about subcutaneous oil injections. You don't have to go intramuscular anymore. Right now we're talking with Eric Potratz from Primordial Performance. Eric, what would be the defining factor why someone would want to use mass versus bulk? Do you have like a list of things that would...
Yeah, I mean, it really has to do with what kind of side effects they are willing to deal with, you know, or not. You know, if they're really sensitive to hair loss, they're going to want to go with the bulk. If they don't want the prostate swelling because it makes them urinate more frequently and get up during the nighttime, then they may want to go with the bulk. You know, we do, for the as far as like a calendar month, schedule, we generally recommend that you use your Andro Drive and Lean during the summer months when you're trying to drop weight. And then during the winter months, you're using something like Mass or Bulk, depending on, you know, which product suits you better. Because it's a little more acceptable to gain fat during those times.
Do you have anybody stacking Mass and Bulk together?
I haven't seen a log on that, but I'm sure it's happening, and it would probably be like a full dose of one and then half a dose of another, depending on what direction you're going.
Do you think that that's reckless or wasteful?
No. I mean, we actually recommend to stack, our products. I mean, you can safely take a full dose of two different Andro Series products of any two you want. You can take a total of 12 soft gels a day, without really incurring any significant side effects.
Is it best to take them with food?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it's not a problem, but we actually optimize the delivery system to be effective with or without food.
So it doesn't matter. You can take them with food or you can take them without, and it's not going to change anything.
Yeah. The full dose, the six soft gels, contains about 5 grams of fat, which is enough to empty the gallbladder and get you full absorption capacity.
Okay. For those out there who are familiar with the first Andro Series, which caused something that you, I think, termed on our last show, atomic grapefruit burp. That is no longer a problem, is it?
No, it's not. It's the slow release now, so you don't get that instant drop of grapefruit right in your stomach.
But the grapefruit is really what helps the agents become absorbed by diminishing the liver's ability to extinguish them and get them out of the system, right?
The intestinal walls, it prevents the degradation in the intestines, so yeah.
What kind of gains will people see, let's say, from using AndroMass, since that seems to be the most aggressive, in what period of time? What will they notice, strength and weight-wise?
If they're noticing, we've had guys notice weight gain in the first several weeks, like the first 2 to 3 weeks. We've seen 10-pound gains in this time frame. I think that's primarily the ionic effect that's going to work. It's not real muscle. It's the swelling of muscle.
Similar to what methyl-1 testosterone used to do to people.
Yeah, well, any methylated compound generally has a very strong ionic effect. And this is kind of what people have come to expect. So they think that if they're not gaining a tremendous amount of weight in the first 2 weeks, that the compound's not working. Because they're used to using the Superdrol and Halodrol and all these very powerful methyl compounds. If you're gaining weight quickly, it's really a swelling of the muscles, and the gains that come after that point, like beyond week three, are going to be the longer-term gains that are going to be actual real muscle tissue that you'll be able to keep after the cycle, that won't immediately just dissipate.
Let's talk about methylation just for a second. Obviously, you could have gone methylation. A lot of people go methylation. As you pointed out, there's a lot of Superdrols out there and other products that are methylated. But you opted to make a huge investment in pioneering a delivery system that is not available anywhere else, to my knowledge, and subsequently you can avoid methylation. Do you get as much into the bloodstream using your system as you would with a milligram-for-milligram comparison of a compound that's methylated?
That's a really complex question. I mean, that goes into absorption. Theoretically, we're actually absorbing higher, but the hormones are weaker that we're using, so we need a much higher dose. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Well, but that's why I said milligram for milligram. I mean, forget about the strength of the drug itself or the supplement itself in this case. Are you getting, are you delivering as much if you would have methylated this same amount?
Oh, we're delivering far beyond methylated. I mean, I'm sure there's methylated products out there that are probably not absorbing hardly at all. I've seen this happen with blood tests before. The standard capsule, the powder.
Is that because somebody's liver is just so much stronger?
No, that's just because the tablet or the capsule is just not dissolving through the digestive tract. If you don't eat it with fat, it's just going to travel right through and you're not going to absorb hardly any of it.
Well, that raises a good point. We see non-responders to everything, including, real oral anabolic steroids like Dianabol.
Yeah.
Do you see non-responders using these products?
Using ours, yes. I would say there's probably maybe 1 out of 5 people are on week 2 or 3 and they think the product doesn't work because they're not putting on this initial, huge amount of weight. I think the first thing we look at is we see, okay, are they training heavy? And are they eating? And they generally, the answer to those two questions is yes. And this is where the frustration comes in because they're training exceptionally hard. They're eating a ton of calories. and the weight's not budging. But in my experience, I've seen this with anything. I've seen this with a gram of test a week, injectable testosterone. I've seen this with even Supergirl. So there's people out there that just won't budge, and you know, this really goes into the theory of constraint. If you have a fire hose and you have a clamp on it, the point of the clamp is the point of constraint. No matter how much water you try to push through that hose, no matter how much wider you try to make the hose, the point of the clamp is really the point you need to address. And this brings to mind a study that was done where there were subjects that were given 600 milligrams a week of injectable testosterone in the effort to increase their red blood cells. And the subjects that were iron deficient had virtually no increase in red blood cell production. So once they administered iron, there was a dramatic increase in red blood cell production immediately. So this goes to show that if you have that clamp in your fire hose, that point of constraint, that it will hold back the entire anabolic process.
Do you think there's any particular point of constraint that you can point to in the anabolic process with some of these people?
Well, people in the U.S. are probably not deficient in iron, most people,
right.
of young age. It's probably something more along the lines of the trace minerals. I highly suggest that you supplement with a trace mineral supplement, including all 72 trace elements.
Right.
There's a trace mineral research brand, Concentrace liquid product that's pretty good. You could just basically dose five times over the regular dose for the first week and then drop down to the regular dose.
Actually, we have a sponsor, too, that produces an amazing trace mineral liquid in dropper form called US Wellness, uscellwellness.com. And they have that same thing. It's got a multitude of trace minerals in there. It's not just potassium, magnesium type stuff. I mean, it's and it's very, very bioavailable. So that's a good point.
Great.
Really, really.
Yeah. That's good. If it's coming from a natural source, it has the whole full array. The cobalt, the magnesium, the chromium, the boron. I mean, these are all really important elements involved in the protein synthesis.
So it sounds like if you're a non-responder to any type of an androgen or anabolic, you shouldn't get frustrated with the androgen anabolic. It should be a red flag that you've got other issues that may be more important to address.
Yeah, you likely have a deficiency somewhere along the line. Another thing that I see quite commonly is overtraining. This is occurring when you see...
Oh, man, I'm with you right now. I got to tell you.
When you see the person get off the cycle and they naturally start training less and then they suddenly blow up
and gain
weight and you know, their muscles are fuller,
dude,
that's a good indication.
I just started a protocol where I train 17 to 20 minutes and I am making gains in the first couple of weeks that I couldn't make in months by training less. It sounds counterintuitive. People don't believe it. But if you employ some of those high-intensity training protocols where you don't do any of the unproductive sets and you go right to the meat and potato sets and you go from one movement to the other as fast as possible and you use density approaches so you can get as much done in like 15 to 20 minutes, I walk out of the gym every time now with muscles feeling pumped. I've never walked out of the gym feeling pumped before.
Yeah, and that will exaggerate a nutritional deficiency as well. That's going to further drive whatever deficiency you have to an even worse place. The harder you train, the longer you train if you're overtraining. So, you know, it's that's probably the two reasons why. If you get to week four on a cycle and you're really noticing nothing, then I highly recommend you try to find your point of constraint.
Reevaluate, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, what does it cost for AndroMass?
The Andro Mass is $200. It's $199.99. The Andro Bulk is $220. We have a coupon, though. Actually, we just created it. I named it after you, Carl. It's Carl25. This will save you 25%. Yeah.
Okay, so Carl25, the number 2, the number 5, right?
Yep.
Okay, so they'll save 25%. Now, a lot of people are probably thinking to themselves, hell, I can buy Superdrol really, really cheap. So in the last few minutes here, why would they want to buy the Andro series instead?
Well, there's no liver toxicity, kidney toxicity. It's not going to wreck their cholesterol values. I mean, we've tested all of this. We know the Andro series products are very safe. If you're very hardcore and you really want to use a methylated product, I personally recommend using it on the last 2 weeks of the cycle. Allow yourself to build up and really, you know, bring in that strong ionic effect in the very last 2 weeks, and I think you'll be a lot happier with that rather than building it in on the front end and then dropping it and then letting your cycle kind of dwindle out. That's just a piece of advice for cycling.
So. How fast are product shipping? Are people having to wait? I remember in the beginning the demand was far exceeded the production ability.
Yeah, we finally caught up with that. Now we're shipping very quickly. If you order mass or bulk or any of the in-stock products, it will ship within a day or two.
How long will a bottle last somebody if they follow the 6 gel caps a day?
A month.
A month, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so theoretically it's going to cost them, with the Carl discount, probably about $150, $160 a month for a bottle. Is that right?
Yeah, $150.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And people can go to primordialperformance.com to learn more, or if you're at superhumanradio.com already, look for one of the numerous banner ads for Primordial Performance with Eric's fine picture on there. Saying how we made steroids safer, I think it says, or better. I forget which one it is, but great products. I know that the and we'll be talking about Andrew Hard in the next series, I believe. We're going to be doing a few more of these interviews. So they're just 30 minutes long. We're just going to talk about each of these individually so people can learn more about them. But I can tell you that the Andrew Hard worked because I have, when I take DHT-type products like Mastron and stuff like that, I get very painful joints very, very quickly, especially tibial ligaments and stuff like that. I mean, and within like a week of taking the AndroHard, I noticed that and I had to stop because that's why I can't take those types of products. So I know that this stuff really is doing what you're saying it's doing. All right, Eric, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Did we cover everything you wanted to cover, Eric?
I think so. Yeah, we're good. I'll come back and talk about the Andro Drive and the Andro Lean on the next show.
That sounds good. Okay, see you soon, Eric.
All right, bye.
All right, check out Primordial Performance by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the Primordial Performance banner ad. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. John Chrysler on. We're going to be talking about subcutaneous oil injections. One of the things that keeps people from going on injectable testosterone is they're afraid to inject intramuscularly. You don't have to anymore. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series Power Blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Mark Schatzker talks about steak, one man's search for the world's finest, tastiest piece of beef, and where that led him. Interestingly enough, it led him to where we are in this audience right here. But right now we're talking to my good friend, friend of the show, Dr. John Chrysler from All Things Male. How are you, John?
Great, Carol. Good to be with you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thanks for taking the time. This is a really important topic, actually. A lot of guys out there avoid injectable testosterone because, A, they don't like needles and they don't even want to go to their doctors to get that injection. But more importantly, when they find out that their doctor just wants to inject them once every 2 weeks and that stable blood levels are critical, then they are tasked with the idea of injecting themselves. And an intramuscular injection scares the bejeebers out of most people who did not grow up in the drug culture that I did. But anyway, with that being said, something you and I have talked about on the show before and something I started experimenting with about a year ago is subcutaneous oil injections. You are now using them in your practice as well, correct?
Finally. Yeah, Dr. Shippen teased me long enough and hard enough, I finally decided to play around with it.
Tell me why you were reluctant as a physician, first of all, to experiment with this.
Simply because nobody really knows how it performs. Nobody knows what the pharmacodynamics are. For instance, this morning I talked to one of my patients with a sub-Q, and he said, you know, we basically went from IM twice a week to sub-Q twice a week. He says, I don't get the same bump from it, so he wanted to go back to IM. I said, that's because you're not getting the peak that you were before. It takes a little longer for it to pick up and stabilize, but your levels will be more stable after that. Stability is not necessarily a good thing with respect to testosterone levels. As we've talked about many times on your show, variability is part and parcel of youth. A young man has quite variable testosterone levels throughout the day, which is why I prefer transdermals. When you go to shots, you know, they're variable across the week, but they're quite stable across the day. And so if you go to a sub-Q injection, probably you're getting even less of a zigzag pattern. So we don't know what the half-life is of a sub-Q injection. I had to wait for enough guys to be volunteered to be guinea pigs to see if there are going to be any problems with it or not, how it was going to respond in the body. And there definitely are some guys who can't do them. They get an inflammatory reaction, get a nodule in there. I'm not sure what the percentage is yet because I don't have the clinical experience with it, but a few guys told me they do get a hard knot in there. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not, and it's just a decision of lifestyle whether the guy wants to continue or not. But there are a lot of variables here. Nobody really knows how they perform or what to expect from them or so forth, and so I came in a little slowly with it.
I actually did my first subcutaneous injection by accident, and it was actually 3 cc's of oil.
Let me stop you there because a lot of guys actually are. they're using 1.5-inch needles and they're not getting into the muscle.
Through the glute muscle and came back out, and when I created the depot, it was under the skin. And the next morning, I had a lump on my hip that was just huge, the inflammation, obviously. But this is 3 cc's of oil, and it's understandable. But I have to tell you something. When I did this, the day that I did this, you know, I aspirated like I'm supposed to aspirate. There was no blood in the syringe, and I pushed the plunger in and released the oil. And I had the same exact experience as when I've hit a vein, which is the brief amount of release. When you go through a vein sometimes, even when you're retracting the needle, a droplet gets picked up by the bloodstream and evaporates into the lungs, and the benzyl alcohol will make you kind of gasp and cough, and you'll get pale, and you'll start sweating for a second. I'm sure you've had this happen, right?
Not generally with pharmaceutical stuff.
Well, I'm mine is Abbott. Mine is good stuff. It's coming from it's compounded by what the hell's the name of it? Not Abbott. But anyway, the point being that the same experience occurred with the sub-Q, which led me to think that I was getting a spike even faster than the intramuscular. So I guess I was wrong about that, wasn't I?
Well, there's a lot of pressure there involved, and who knows what happens with lymphatics and so forth. But when you're putting the fat, I remember when I was a kid, making the mistake of changing the oil back when we used to do that, change the oil in my Camaro, dropping the cans into a plastic garbage bag, and my dad was mad and horned at me because, look at it, it melted right through the bottom of the doggone bag. It was a stupid thing a kid did. So basically we're putting a fat into a fat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there could be issues. That's something concerning. There could be issues there. It doesn't look like there really is now. But they say nobody knows how this thing's performing. Who knows what the half-life becomes then? I think we do need to leave a longer interval of time for blood levels to stabilize with the sub-Q injections. I think they come up more slowly, more evenly. Something that really interests me, not only is because if guys have to do twice-a-week shots or whatever, and some definitely do, but there are guys that need to be doing shots every other day, and I think every day.
That's what I think every day, a small depot. That's my opinion. It's funny you should say that. I've thought about that for a long time. In fact, I've been waiting for a pharmaceutical company to come out with a faster-acting testosterone that releases over the course of like an 18-hour period, so by nighttime it's gone, and you can still maintain some sort of HPT functionality. But
that won't happen, but you were talking about what is the shape of the zigzag then, the blood serum level then. But for me, it's a matter of the guys, particularly guys with low sex hormone binding globulin levels or hyper excreters. The patient I talked to this morning is a hyper excreter. So if he takes a regular injection of testosterone cypionate, even if he's doing it once per week, he comes up in 48 to 72 hours, that rush that's coming up, it's all ending up in his urine because he's hyper-excreting it. I tend to catch the weird cases. I catch the guys where, they're on 100 milligrams a week of testosterone. We can't get their levels above 350. So I run the Ryan 24-hour urine test, and he's literally five times the top of normal range in his urine test because it's all running out his kidneys
so,
in his urine.
Yeah, I was going to say his liver is pulling it out. He's got a lot of receptors in his liver probably. So.
Well, that'd be a hypermetabolizer, and we certainly see that as well. And you will see hypermetabolization on guys with low sex hormone binding globulin levels because the body's recognizing what a rush of testosterone is coming in. But just even the hyper-excreters, where it's basically running out their kidneys, they're not reabsorbing it from the urine back in the bloodstream. That doesn't mean there's kidney disease involved. It just means that's how that particular guy's kidneys act.
Okay.
So for these guys, they have such high free levels that you got to do something much more regular to keep a stable level for them.
Okay, so let's talk about the logistics of this. First of all, what type of a syringe do you recommend for someone who wants to use a sub-Q oil injection?
Awesome. Three mLs are out for everybody these days.
Right.
We're all going to 1 mL syringes.
Okay. So a 1 mL syringe with like a 21 or 22 gauge 1-inch needle?
You mean to fill or to inject with?
To inject with.
Well, heck, why not use a little 29 gauge?
Because it's so hard to push the oil through, that's why.
No, it's not. Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, you can't fill the fluid dynamics, hydraulics and such, you can't fill them. I like to fill with a 22 gauge because you get down to 21, you're talking about all those holes in the rubber septum in the bottle. It really tears it up, and yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. So fill with a 22 at 1 inch, or just use your 22 inch and a half that you're using to fill with, and then you change out to a fresh, you can use a little 29 or a 25 or whatever, but just about 5/8 of an inch is fine. You got to remember, though, that you're going to lose a little bit. And here's where things get kind of sticky when we're trying to do, you know, the logistics of operating up a practice, is that you're losing a little bit every time. Now, if these guys are doing, you know, 30 or 40 milligrams per injection, you're losing enough volume when you change out that needle that you come up short on your prescription.
Uh-huh.
In the first place, the pharmacist is about to have a cow if they see sub-Q on there. And they just don't like that at all. You know, they're not at the cutting edge. And so you got to put IM on there when the patient's doing sub-Q and just tell the patient do what they want to. So it gets kind of sticky there. But, you know, what we're trying to do here is provide the best medical care for our patients. So people aren't used to, across the population, across the medical community, aren't used to operating at the cutting edge, obviously.
Right.
So but, you lose a little bit every time. And
right.
So you come up short, you know, two or three drops each time really adds up. So
yeah. What do you think the maximum size depot is for a sub-Q injection?
With a 200 milligram per ml concentration.
Yeah, let's forget about the fact that some guys are prescribing, you know, lower dose testosterone today. Just strictly from a mechanic standpoint, what do you think the largest depot should be?
Oh, I think probably somewhere around a fifth of a cc.
A fifth of a cc.
About 40 milligrams.
Okay, so not one full cc.
No.
That's too big.
No, I think so. Yeah, I just say by my own experience. I tell you, you start getting an inflammatory nodule in there, it gets pretty sore. And I think that somewhere around, you know, a fifth or a quarter of a cc is plenty.
Okay.
And that's why
maybe more frequently injecting more frequently makes perfect sense. Let's do this, Dr. Chrysler. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you the ideal site for a sub-Q injection or sites. And then maybe I'll share some of my own personal experience. Since I don't have any letters after my name, I can put my big foot in my mouth. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler. He is available for consultation. If you ever want to talk to him so that you can get help dealing with your own physician, go to allthingsmale.com and reach out to Dr. Chrysler in the man cave. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Remember, Southern Research Companies offers Superhuman Radio listeners an additional 15% discount when you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN15. We'll be doing a show later this week or next week on thymosin beta 4, a new peptide that people need to know about. The horse racing industry has been embracing it for quite some time now. Human athletes are looking at it too now. We're talking with Dr. John Chrysler from allthingsmail.com. We're talking about subcutaneous injections as an alternative to intramuscular when using injectable oil-based hormones like testosterone, cypionate, and so on for hormone replacement therapies. So where's the best place to inject if you're going to go sub-Q, Dr. Chrysler?
Well, I say my guys go in their belly with it.
Yeah, to the right or to the left, right below the navel, kind of like where you would do an insulin shot, for instance.
Yeah, but we have them move around a bit, but it's right in front of them. They can't miss, and they're used to taking their HCG or GHRP6 injections there anyways, so not much difference.
Yeah, exactly. And now, which patients do you even recommend this to? Do you only use it with patients who the idea of an intramuscular injection scares the bejeebers out of them, or are you using it more frequently now?
Well, to me, my way of thinking, I think it's a little weirder to do sub-Q than IM, but I just don't like the idea of poking all those holes in their muscles. So as soon as they depart, and I always have them start out at IM because I want to stabilize their dose first at IM where I know the pharmacodynamics, how it's going to perform, what to expect on the lab work and so forth, and then we'll convert them over to sub-Q. But pretty much as soon as you depart from once per week injections, I'm ready to do that now if they want to. Twice a week, and we're talking over 100 injections per year.
Right.
You know, over 1,000 holes in their muscles per decade. That's just nuts.
And see, that's how I use it now, Dr. Chrysler. Every now and then I decide to take a break from intramuscular. And so I just go sub-Q for a while. And I'll do that for a few months, and then I'll go intramuscular for a few months to try to give my muscles a break. And I've injected 1 mL of testosterone sub-Q in my lower abdomen where the flesh is very, very thin. And I've watched the depot disappear in 2 weeks. Now, granted, there's probably still something there that I can't feel using tactile senses, but that depot is pretty much all gone in about 2 weeks other than what I can't feel any longer that may be hidden.
Yeah, I expect that the oil has long since dissipated. That's just some indurated tissue that you're experiencing there for the inflammatory response left over.
Right, exactly. I have no profound discomfort, no noticeable discomfort from using sub-Q injections. And I really think that they are the wave of the future. I really, really do, because, you know, there's so many complications with intramuscular. You hit a vein, you don't hit a vein, you hit a nerve, you have painful injections from time to time, and you just don't have any of that with a sub-Q injection.
I agree, and you know, I serve my guys with their glutes, alternating sides with their glutes. If they're right-handed, I give them their first shot, demonstrate them on the left side. So when they give their first shot the next week, it'll be on the hand. If they're right-handed, on the right side, it just seems to be a little easier. You know, you start to pool blood a little bit. Nobody likes to see that. So after a while, we go to thighs, and thigh injections just kind of always bug me. So I think this is a great alternative. Get their dosing set using intramuscular, and then switch them to sub-Q. As long as you're not doing, I don't care if the idea of half a cc sub Q. I think you're running 100 milligrams a week or something like that. I think it's a bit of volume at this point. But if you're going, any time you split to more than once per week dosing, then I'm ready to go sub Q.
I like it a lot. When you talk to your patients about subcutaneous, do they get relieved when they realize that this is so much simpler than an intramuscular injection?
Yes.
Yeah.
An inch and a half long needle looks like a sword. You know, looks like a trocar to them. So, you know.
You know, it's to this day. I mean, I've been injecting myself since 2007. That's when I got on HRT, and to this day, I still get moderate amounts of anxiety before an injection because, like last week, for instance, when I injected my left hip, I went lower than I was supposed to. And I ended up with this, you know, lump in my butt, and it was sore, and it was right where my wallet was, as it turns out. And I thought, you know, I must have went down in an angle with the needle instead of going straight in. And it's like it gives me anxiety. I can't wait for it to be over. And that's why another reason why I take breaks with sub-Q. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start sub-Q injections later this week because I feel like I just don't want to give myself injections intramuscularly for a while. And the truth is, I probably do sub-Q indefinitely. I don't even have to go back to intramuscular if I don't want to. I mean, it's a small amount. It's a small depot. I do inject twice a week to try to keep blood levels stabilized to some degree. And it just seems so much less, stressful and everything else. And I don't understand why someone isn't doing the necessary research to understand the pharmacodynamics of sub-Q oil-based injections so that most doctors can start moving to this.
Well, there are a lot of guys out there who are on an aromatase inhibitor that would be unnecessary if you're doing twice a week or three time a week injections because you're not getting that big spike that really picks up the estrogen response. It's wonderful to keep a patient off of a drug or throw out a drug that they're using beforehand, especially to, you know, save the cost involved. So there are a lot of advantages to it, no doubt.
You know, that's an interesting point. I had a listener contact me who told me that he's getting injections at his doctor once every 2 weeks, and I explained to him, and correct me if I'm incorrect here, but I explained to him that it was my understanding that not keeping stable blood levels actually is when the side effects from aromatase and DHT conversion start to precipitate. Is that accurate?
Well, first place, where is it? But in age management medicine, do doctors or interventional endocrinology, I should say, do doctors completely forget all of their training in pharmacology? Where else do we dose drugs at multiples of the half-life? This idea of doing test sip shots every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks has nothing to do with how the medication actually works in the system. It boggles my mind. We're taught to look at the half-life of the drug and a dose inside the half-life of the drug. What happens then, of course, is, as we've talked in here many times before, you know, you got to give a double dose or whatever, hopefully, and then they're at basically anabolic steroid levels for the first week, and then they're below baseline the second week. That's a terrible, cruel roller coaster to put your patients on. And again, it just has nothing to do with the way either the
So why do doctors do that?
Well, because they haven't been trained properly, they're not thinking about what they're doing. A doctor should be able to figure this out on his or her own. And also, if they're giving injections in the clinic, it's more convenient for the clinic because it's easier to schedule patients every other week and every other week have them lining up the door for their shots on Fridays or whatever.
So it's more to do with their scheduling than the patient's benefit.
It's hard to work in the only shots of the nurse's schedule. So.
Why does that not surprise me? Okay, last question about sub-Q. When would you not go to a sub-Q injection with a patient? Are there any contraindications? Perhaps a patient has some sort of rare disorder, skin disorder, a person who's a bleeder, any of those kind of things?
No. The bleeding issue should be lessened. Risk should be lessened with sub-Q. I can't think of a single contraindication at this time.
What does it mean? And this is a personal question, but I'll ask it on the air because there may be somebody out there who will benefit from this. The last time
the opportunity to embarrass me.
No. Embarrass myself. A couple weeks ago, I was giving myself an injection in my right hip, and I gently inserted the needle, pulled back on the plunger to verify, by aspirating, and then started to push the plunger, and I pushed the plunger, and I pushed the plunger, and it wouldn't move, John. It wouldn't move. I was pushing it so hard, and it was moving so slow. And then when I finally got half of the oil in me, I pulled it out. I thought maybe there's something wrong with the needle. I pulled it out, and I just touched it, and the oil squirted out. So I actually finished the rest of it sub-Q. What did I do? What did I hit? Did I hit a pocket that would not expand to let the oil in? Have you ever seen anything like that before?
I hope you weren't onto a ligament or something in there.
Oh.
That's possible.
So I was actually in a ligament trying to inject the oil into a ligament.
Very well could have been.
Are there ligaments that pass through the gluteus minimus and around the side of the hip there where you give the shot, that outer quadrant, outer upper quadrant?
The anatomy is very complicated in that area.
Yeah. Another reason to go sub-Q. That's it. Starting today, I'm going sub-Q. I'm not going to do anything else but sub-Q from now on. That's all. I'll be your guinea pig, John. You want to start doing blood work on me?
Love to.
Okay. All right, listen, visit Dr. John Chrysler at allthingsmail.com. If you are having difficulty getting your doctor to do the right thing, if your doctor insists on giving you shots once a month, for instance, or your doctor refuses to put you on testosterone even though you have all the symptoms and you're at the bottom portion of the quote-unquote normal range, go to allthingsmail.com. Reach out to Dr. Chrysler. He can consult for you. He can help you. And if you're in the Minneapolis area, right? That's where you're based, in Minneapolis.
Actually, Lansing, Michigan.
What am I thinking? Minnesota. If you're in the Lansing area, you can go and visit Dr. Chrysler at the Man Cave. And the Man Cave is made for guess who? Men. And so that's why the website is called allthingsmail.com. John, thanks for being on the show today.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
And finish your lunch now, okay? Thank you.
<We'll do.
laughs> Okay. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Schatzker on. Mark went in search of the perfect-tasting piece of beef, and guess where it led him, folks? Where we have been all along. Stay tuned. It's going to be great. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, interestingly enough, Mark Schatzker set out to find the world's tastiest piece of beef, and guess where it led him, folks? Led him right here to Superhuman Radio. How you doing, Mark?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. First of all, what made you even start this journey? Have you always been a lover of a good steak?
I have. What caused this journey was something common to all of us, hunger. Basically, I started to wonder why sometimes you'd go to the supermarket and buy a steak and it was excellent, but more often than not, you buy an apparently identical-looking steak, and it wasn't as good. It just didn't seem to have a lot of flavor, didn't have that beefy punch. And I really couldn't figure out what was going on. I wanted to understand steak the way we understand wine, which is to have some ability to predict how this thing is going to taste when I cook it and put it in my mouth. I thought it was a simple question. It proved to be not such a simple question. All the answers I got from people like the USDA and the National Cattle and Beef Association just didn't add up. I mean, I followed their instructions to the letter, desperately hoping for a great steak, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
One of the big changes was a trip to Chile where my brother lived, and I had a steak there that rocked my world.
Did you have it at one of the traditional chascurai? How do you pronounce it? Chuscarias?
No, I didn't actually. I had it at a Peruvian chain restaurant out by the airport.
No,
I was late for
kidding.
Flight. I had to eat quickly. I got a steak, and I was just, you know, it's like your hair is blown back. Like you're just going, oh my God, what is this on my plate? I wanted to order another one, but I looked at my watch and I would have missed my plane, so I had to.
You know, and that's interesting because Chile and Argentina both share similar styles of animal husbandry when it comes to raising beef, and they're totally opposed to a lot of the things that we do here in the United States.
You know, that's actually, sadly, that's changing. In fact, I was in Buenos Aires just last week. I got back on Saturday. There's a whole other story there which we can get to.
Okay.
But at the time I was there, you're absolutely right. They do have a different protocol, and this was Argentine beef, and it was special.
Okay, so are you a journalist by trade?
Yes.
Okay, this makes perfect sense. Okay, so how long did it take you, and what did you do? Where did you go? I mean, did you start out at the Ruth Chris steakhouses and start there, or what did you do?
You know, I did a lot of that. The thing I'll tell you, everyone always asks me, which is the best steakhouse? Is it Smith & Walensky? Is it Ruth Chris? My answer is, which one has the comfier seats, because they're all the same. They
right.
all serve commodity beef. It all comes out of the feedlot, you know, fed on corn. Those steaks are all, they're industrial. They're widgets. It's considered fungible. You can trade it, and people do trade it on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Wow.
So those steakhouses are all serving identical steak. It's just a question of whose steak rub do you like, or, you know, who's got the plusher seats. But what I did is I set out to travel the world, because, you know, we often think in North America that we have everything figured out, but other parts of the world have different traditions and do things differently. So what I wanted to do was, A, find the tastiest steak, but B, understand that steak. Why
it,
you know,
tastes
why
better.
Does it taste the way it
right.
does? What is the culture that informs those animal husbandry protocols and so forth? So I traveled to Scotland, I traveled to France, I traveled to Italy, Japan.
I was just
going to
ask you, now Japan embraces their beef. Kobe beef is said to, they massage the cows in order to make the meat more tender,
yeah,
which I don't buy personally.
A myth. Not
but,
true.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
No, I mean, who could possibly afford to do that? What they do is, like every cattle-loving culture, they show their cattle. And before you show cattle, you brush them and you put some nice stuff in their fur to make it glisten. I think this got warped into some idea of massaging, which is just not true. But, you know, Japan, I'll admit, it can be odd at times, but I think we like to think that the Japanese are odder than they actually are.
Right, right. I agree. Okay, so you traveled around the world in search of the tastiest steak or piece of beef. First of all, did you zero in on a particular cut? Did you always ask for a New York strip or a T-bone?
Well, I did. Yes, I did both. I mean, I wanted to do two things. I always want to enjoy the cut that was enjoyed by the locals, because I don't want to kind of impose my idea of what's the best cut. But at the same time, I also wanted to eat a ribeye everywhere I could just to have a standard of comparison. So I did both, because the other thing is they enjoy some different cuts in Japan. One thing they enjoy, and that's just one example, Japan, is tongue. They will take a tongue and slice it very thinly across
yeah.
the grain
yeah.
and cook it on a really, like, I had it cooked on a really hot stone. And, oh, my gosh, is it ever delicious.
Yeah, I've actually eaten tongue as a child. I'm Italian, and I have my parents are first-generation American. My grandparents used to cook some really weird things like capicella, which is lamb's head that they bake in the oven. My grandfather used to make beef tongue just like
it's
that.
Delicious.
They slice it very, very thin. It looks like bologna. It looks like bologna when they slice
it. It does.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
sell a lot of our tongue to Japan. And you know, it's only weird is in the eye of the beholder, of course. And I no longer think these things are weird. I think
yeah.
they're great, and we're all missing out.
Yeah. So the ribeye tended to be your benchmark then, right?
Yes.
Because this is typically a wonderful piece of meat that kind of falls apart when cooked properly, has enough fat in it to really, really be savory. And generally, if it's a good cut, it's very tender, very, very tender.
It's tender, it's juicy, and it's flavorful.
Okay.
So it's my favorite cut of the steak cuts, but I'm not a snob. I mean, I love all the cuts. And they, you know, they cook these odd neck cuts called aguja in Argentina that you can't get here, but a tasty steak. For sure.
So it's like
the column
muscle of the neck, in other words?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? That makes perfect sense.
They cook short ribs as steak there. Now, they do a lot of very low heat wood grilling, so they'll cook their steak for a long time, especially something like short ribs, on a low heat, and it becomes tender, and it's very tasty. It's not kind of rare and bloody the way we think of a steak, but it's still really, really good.
Did you encounter any of the chascurias?
Chascuria.
Yeah.
The Argentines love the asado. That is their favorite way to cook a steak. And essentially, they light a big fire. And you'll even see people, you'll walk by a storefront at 10 in the morning, and it looks like, you know, somebody's committing arson because there's a guy in a T-shirt in the window lighting a massive fire. Like, what is this guy doing? And then he drives these stakes in the ground, and they're kind of shaped like a cross, and they hang the cuts of meat on this. And they're not over the fire. They're just next to the fire, so the fat doesn't drip into the fire because it would, you know, cause a raging fire.
Right, right.
And that's
right.
some truly wonderful meat. And
oh,
then you can
wow.
go there for lunch, and I went to a place for like $7.50. It was an all-you-can-eat steak and red wine.
Really? Oh my God! I'd be in heaven. That's wonderful.
I was in heaven. All right, look. I mean, that's like a price of a Big Mac meal deal.
I know it's fantastic, but it's a lot better. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking this hour with. Sorry about that. I turned your mic off by accident. I'm sorry. Mark Schatzker, and his book is Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. It's available on Amazon. Is there a preferential place where you'd like people to get it, Mark?
I think just getting it is great, preferential enough.
Okay. Interestingly enough, this story is going to get really, really good when we find out what ended up being the tastiest steak that Mark encountered. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking with Mark Schatzker. His journey to find the best tasting steak. Where did it lead him? Okay, so let's talk about something else. We talked about the different cuts. Is it true that a rare steak is the best way to order your steak, or did you just order it the way you like it?
Yeah, well, you know what I tried to do is order it the way the locals ate it. And for example, in Argentina, that often means getting a steak that we would consider well done. Now it's not gray boot leather. They just get it to that point of just being a little bit pink in the middle. Yeah. Not the way I'm used to eating it, but you know, you spend 10 days in Argentina, you definitely get used to it and start to enjoy it.
Well, and obviously, like you said, you know, doing it the way the locals do it should lead you to the best tasting steak, because that's why they love it so much. If you, you kind of vary it.
Exactly. And you've got to open your mind and realize that what you think you know may not be, everything.
Okay. So first, before we get to the best tasting steak, what were the best tasting steaks that then got bumped out of the way once you finally found the next best?
That's an interesting question. I was in Italy, in Tuscany, and I had a steak, the Bistecca Fiorentina. It's like the 2.5-inch thick porterhouse that is beloved in Tuscany. In fact, I went to the town of Cortona, has the Sagra della Bistecca, which is essentially a 3-day steak party.
Really?
Great steak. Delicious. It's from a Chianina cattle, which is a huge, probably one of the world's largest breeds of cattle. And it was very, very tasty. I thought it was a real contender, an excellent, excellent steak, and it got bumped off.
Got bumped off by the next one that you encountered.
Yes, and some others as well. It just wasn't as... It just proved not to be as good as some of the others, basically.
Okay, so before we move forward, how did you grade steaks? What did you grade them on? I mean, obviously, taste is subjective. So you had to have some sort of universal approach that your results would translate to me.
Well, to some degree, yes. Although, to some degree, this book is by me. I can only report how I think a steak tastes, and be honest about that. I would look at things, you know, I tried to have a systematic way of assessing the juiciness, assessing the tenderness, assessing the flavor. But at the same time, I would always push that slightly to the side and just try and gauge my own almost emotional reaction. Did I like this? You know, I had some steaks that were a bit tougher, but were really, really, really good. And that made me think, maybe tenderness isn't even that important, because I still really love this steak.
Right, right. Flavor, obviously, would trump tenderness any day
of the
week. Flavor
is the big one for me, and I think there's a... I honestly think there's a crisis in our food of flavor. So much of our food is getting industrialized and processed that it just doesn't have any flavor. That's why there's all these steak rubs we dump all over our steak. We never had these things 50 years ago. We need it now because our steak has no flavor.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. Now, with that being said, did you look for different qualities in the taste of the fat or how the fat interacted with the tongue?
Well, yes. I mean, I would look at
these things. Or did that just come naturally? In other words, when you had a steak in your mouth, you were like, wow, there's something really great about this. Was it the fat? You know what I mean?
Well, it can be the fat. You know, for example, the steak in Japan has really soft fat, partly because these Wagyu cattle have a gene, you know, we'll get really technical here, called delta-9 desaturase, which converts stearic acid, which is saturated, to the monounsaturated oleic acid. So this happens more and more as the cattle get older, and one of the ways Japanese test for beef quality is to put the steak on newspaper, and if the grease kind of bleeds through, like you can almost see through the newspaper, like in a cone of fish and chips,
right?
They know that's a good steak. So Japanese beef has very soft fat. So softness of fat was one thing I was looking for. So was juiciness. Now, the other thing, there's two different kinds of juiciness. There can be juiciness from the fat, so that's why what people considered a well-marbled steak to be juicy, because there's essentially melted fat that is lubricating the steak. But there's also what they call water-holding capacity, and this is what we talk about, a steak being bloody. It's not technically blood. It's liquid that's squeezed out of the muscle fibers, but it's water-based. And that's the kind of juiciness that we don't pay enough attention to, and there's some big-time flavor there, and it's wonderful, too.
You know, there's something else that's not paid attention to. Because on a macronutrient basis, it's negligible. Its content is negligible in steak, but it cannot be ignored. For those of us who understand how muscle works, and we're talking about muscle when we talk about steak, there is glycogen in muscle, which is basically a very, very reduced form of glucose. And I have to believe that that the presence of glycogen, whether it's from the processing of the steak, the caring of the steak, or maybe even certain cows, like you pointed out, this Japanese cow that has the delta 9 desaturase
enzyme,
you know, maybe some cows retain more muscle glycogen in their muscle. I have to believe that glycogen enhances or influences the taste of steak somehow, even though we ignore it.
Listen, there's all sorts of things that do. There's a lot of very important compounds that come through certain feeds, and we can get into that in a minute. One of the interesting things that happens with glycogen is that it turns into lactic acid as, you know, when the cow dies, it starts to go through the process of rigor mortis.
Right.
If you stress a cow before you kill it, it'll go through all its glycogen, and that process doesn't happen properly, so you get what's called dark cutting meat. And it's not pleasant to eat.
Mm.
It's one of the reasons that the way you treat the animal, and this is not just true of cattle, but all animals, is very important to meat quality. It's literally true that happier critters taste better.
Yeah, and also, what, like you pointed out, in the processing of the animal, not letting them know that they're about to be killed doesn't raise those fear hormones that end up influencing the toughness and the flavor of
Absolutely.
The meat as well. So that's
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, so what steak bumped out the steak from Italy?
Well, a number of them, and here's one of the larger lessons of the book. Early on in the book, I traveled to France, and I had lunch with Alain Ducasse, who's a famous restaurateur there, one of the greatest in the world. And he said, your mission is all wrong. You shouldn't be looking for the best steak. You should be looking for the best steaks. And I thought, yeah, that's nice. You're being very inclusive, but come on, you know, there's got to be one that reigns supreme. And I realized as my journey progressed, that he was right, that there are different steaks. And it's like
women.
You know, honestly,
it's like trying to say the most beautiful woman. Well, there's one with red hair, one with brunette, one with blonde. They're all
exactly.
beautiful.
Exactly. Or if somebody said, I've got three kids, and someone said, well, who's your favorite? I don't have one. I love them for their differences. So that is how I feel. But you only get differences in food, certain kinds of food, what you might want to call traditionally raised or artisan food. So that was a big breakthrough in the book, was when I understood how the way cattle are raised influences the way they taste.
Now, since you talked about France, did you try horse by any chance?
I didn't have any in France, but I'm in Canada where we have horse meat, so I eat horse regularly.
Okay. And it's a sweeter meat, so okay, we'll go past that. So let's talk now about, just for a second, the breeds of cow that you find seem to influence the quality of the steak.
Yeah, let's put it very crudely. There's continental cattle, which come from continental Europe, like France, Germany, and so forth, and then there's the British breeds, Aberdeen Angus, Hereford, Highland, Galloway. I would say, broadly speaking, the British breeds are better. They were bred to be raised on pasture for meat, and that's what they do very well at. The continental breeds were raised to be tractors. They pulled really big carts. That's why they're huge. We tend to raise those now because you can stick them in a feedlot and they'll grow like mad, and you get a really good return on your investment of corn and soybeans. But I don't think those cattle make for the best tasting steaks. Now, I also want to say I think any breed, if raised properly, can be good. But among the very, very best steaks I had were the British breeds. I also want to say the Japanese Wagyu breed, when raised properly, is also exquisite.
Okay. Where does the Jersey and the Holstein fall? I know they're dairy cows predominantly, but do they produce any good beef as well?
Yeah, you can get some decent beef at a Holstein. Jerseys can produce some terrific beef. They take their later maturing, which just means, you know, you got to kill them when they're older, but they can produce some absolutely superb beef. They don't have a great carcass. Like, they're not that meaty.
I know. They're bony.
They're bony, but they're terrific.
Yeah, okay. All right, so when you started to get into the way the cows were raised, something happened. You started to discover what? That the grain-fed cows versus cows on natural diets somehow were tastier?
Okay, yes. We rave about corn-fed beef here, and we also talk about marbling. I'll say this about marbling. It's not an indicator of how good a steak's going to eat, but that's not to say you should never look at it. The other breakthrough was I was in Scotland eating a great steakhouse with the owner who had it for something like 30 years, and he was complaining about how Scottish beef wasn't as good as it used to be. And I said, what happened? He said, well, the cattle stopped eating grass. And I said, well, what does that have to do with it? He said, well, that's where all the flavor comes from. It comes from the grass. And he was right. He is absolutely right. That is where the flavor comes from. And if you want to illustrate this, do two things. Don't buy sweet corn. Buy the corn that cattle eat, which is called feed corn.
Mm-hmm.
Make porridge out of that. Have a bite of that porridge, and then take a bite of grass growing in a field, and you will not believe the difference. One of them tastes like wallpaper paste, and one of them tastes like spicy, intense arugula.
Right.
And those flavor compounds, or the lack thereof in the corn, influence the flesh. I mean, that's why lamb has a lot of flavor, for example, because they're out there eating grass.
Right.
So what you feed the cattle is going to determine how they taste. We are what we eat. They are what they eat.
So the grass-fed cows obviously have a better taste, but also, interestingly enough, while this is not necessarily the thrust of your investigation, they also end up being a healthier choice because of the higher omega-3 and higher conjugated linoleic acid content in the meat, correct?
Yes. Now, let me say two things. Grass-fed beef is better. It can also be worse, though, because raising grass-fed beef properly is not easy. Raising corn-fed beef is easy. You take a bucketful of corn, dump it in their stall or their feed bunk, and they eat it. Raising cattle on grass means you're rotating them through different pastures. You have to be knowledgeable about what kind of grass you're growing, how much rain are you getting, what kind of soil type do you have, what breed do you have. It's not to say it's impossible, but it's like making wine, that there's an art to it and there's a lot of science to it. So there's a lot of bad grass-fed beef out there, and we can get into that because I can explain the reasons why.
Well, we have about 4 minutes before we go into the break. Let's address that now. What could go wrong in a grass-fed cow that would influence?
Well, for example, they could be eating onion grass or sage grass, which will impart an unpleasant flavor. It'll just be too intense.
And you can taste it. You can taste it in the milk too. When a cow gets into onions, the milk tastes like scallions.
Exactly, and it just doesn't work. But probably the biggest problem. Cattle have to be finished when you eat them. They have to be fat. I mean, we like fat critters. We are not obligate carnivores like lions. We can't process pure protein or very intense amounts of protein well. That's why we have, I believe this is evolution, we have a taste for fat and we have a taste for fatty meat, which is one of the reasons lean beef or lean venison or lean anything doesn't taste very good.
Well, not only that, but it's not healthy. Stefanson proved that in one of his research studies that he did after living with the Inuit, that if you don't include fat with the animal protein, you can actually get very, very sick quickly.
You can get extremely sick. And this would have been this isn't a concern to us now because we have processed carbs and, you know, you can get dietary energy by walking to the convenience store. But when we were hunter-gatherers, this was huge. I think it's one of the reasons we're such excellent – well, it's one of the reasons we're smart, because when we go out and hunt an animal, we don't go for the sick and the weak and the old. We go for the biggest, best member of the herd, and that requires very sophisticated hunting. So, you know, there's a long and fascinating story behind this, but to put it in perspective for, you know, raising grass-fed beef today, you got to get the cattle fat. That's really easy to do with corn because it's essentially concentrated energy. That's what the cattle producers call it. They call it concentrates. Grass takes longer, and too many grass-fed cattle ranchers will cut corners. They'll slaughter the cattle too young before they're fat enough, and the meat just doesn't taste good. I mean, it tastes terrible.
Yeah, I you know what's funny? I eat a lot of grass-fed beef, and a lot of the grass-fed beef I eat is in ground beef because it's less expensive and it's faster for to make. And every now and then I'll get a batch from my farmer that it's interesting. It smells like wet dog.
Yeah.
And the fat in it is very sinewy. It's it almost feels like it's soft tissue, soft tissue instead of fat. And you're right. It doesn't taste as good, but I eat it anyway because I don't really want that corn-fed cow. I really don't want it.
No, I don't either. I can't I honestly can't go there anymore. I don't even like the way it makes me feel.
Well, and the cat is out of the bag. We understand that these cows you said something that I've been saying something on this show for 7 years. First of all, that these animals, pick an animal, that grow up in feedlots and CAFOs are sick animals. And they're so sick that they have to be given subclinical doses of antibiotics in order to keep them alive long enough to slaughter them. In the wild, animals don't kill and eat sick animals. I mean, yeah, sure, a lion will take the low-hanging fruit of an antelope that's wounded and kill it. But one that is clearly sick, withering away, and ill, they'll bypass it because they don't want to eat sick animals. Only we eat sick animals, but that's because they're on a styrofoam tray with shrink wrap on top, and a lot of times have a red dye on them to make the meat look redder. And we are eating sick animals. I've been talking about that on the show for 7 years. And a sick animal is also an animal, not necessarily that has caught a disease, but is eating the wrong thing. If you don't believe that, a termite can survive even eating wood. You probably can too if you were in the wilderness and you had to survive, but you would be a very, very sick human being when they finally whisk you away from your area of being lost and try to save your life. So cows that eat corn are sick. I don't want to eat sick animals anymore, so I do put up with the occasional wet dog smell of my grass-fed beef and clearly leaner than I want it to be. Let's do this. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
No, and they can fix this. You know, there's things I'd love to talk to your producer because it's easy to fix. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, one of the other things that grass-fed producers do sometimes is dry age the meat too long.
And I want to talk about aging. I do want to talk about that. Actually, when we come out of the break, I'd like to talk about aging, if that even played a role in the best and finest tasting steak.
It's a great subject, so let's definitely talk about it.
All right, so let's do this. Let's plug the book again. The book is called Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. You can get it at Amazon.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Mark Schatzker. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
It's official. Next Wednesday, we will have Professor Philip Filimonov on from the UK talking about thymosin beta 4. Thymosin beta 4 is a peptide that's naturally occurring in the body. The thoroughbred horse racehorse industry has already embraced it. It increases red blood cells, it increases muscle mass, it speeds wound healing and tissue repair, soft tissue repair, collagen increase. I mean, it's really an interesting peptide, and we'll be talking about it next week. and you won't hear it anywhere else but here on Superhuman Radio. We're talking right now with Mark Schatzker about his book, Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. Okay, so what role does aging play, if any? Do you really need to age a steak and let the naturally occurring enzymes kind of work on it?
Yes. You don't have to. It won't be poisonous, but it's certainly a good idea. But that said, aging is totally overblown and overplayed.
Mm.
If you look at the meat science, the maximum, you know, the real aging happens in the first week or so. You know, first 3 days is the absolute most. Up until the 10-day mark, 2 weeks. After that, it's starting to get really, really marginal. The enzymes just aren't doing that much. They're still tenderizing the beef a little bit, but not much. So why do we have these steakhouses that advertise, you know, 60-day aged ribeyes and strip loins? The reason, I think, is just simply so they can charge you more. If you're a steakhouse and you're schlepping the same commodity beef as the guy across the street, you have to do something to differentiate yourself and give yourself a reason to charge $30 more for the same piece of meat. So they create these aging rooms in the basement tiled with Himalayan salt and so forth. I just don't think it makes that much of a difference. I think there are other ways to achieve tenderness that have to do with genetics of the cattle and how the meat is handled that are going to have much more to do with tenderness. And the other big thing is that you cannot age grass-fed beef for that long, especially dry-aged, because the polyunsaturated fat is more volatile. It's more prone to rancidity. It gets oxidized. It's the same reason butter, you know, it's the same reason butter doesn't last the same way that lard does.
Yeah.
When you start to desaturate fat, it turns quicker. So aging is, no one wants to eat what's called green beef. Almost nobody does. Like, it's actually hard to get in North America.
Green beef meaning it's been freshly slaughtered.
It was killed yesterday or the day before.
Right. So what do you feel that the dry age process should be? How many days should it be?
Instead of 10 days to 2 weeks.
That's it. And you're done.
Yes, and you're done. And I have no issue with wet aging either. I think wet aging works really well.
What is wet aging? I've never heard of that.
Okay, so dry aging is when you, you know, the kind of thing you see in old movies when they hang a side of beef from a hook in a fridge and it's just sort of hanging there in the fridge.
Right.
Sometimes they put it on a shelf.
Right.
But it's there in the open air. Wet aging is when you seal a particular cut, not a whole side because that'd be too big, but let's say you'll take a whole ribeye or a whole strip loin and you'll cryovac it. It's in plastic. And it ages there in an anaerobic environment, which is to say no oxygen. But these enzymes don't need oxygen to work.
Right.
So they still do their thing. Their activity is governed more by temperature than it is by oxygen. So wet aging works too. And the nice thing for grass-fed beef with wet aging is you don't have oxygen in there to oxidize your fat.
Ah, so that's a good idea. So grass-fed beef probably should be wet-aged.
A lot of people argue that it should be. I've had great grass-fed beef that was dry-aged. I've had great grass-fed beef that was wet-aged. A lot of it's going to come down to the size of the producer because the small abattoirs tend to dry-age. They don't have the big facilities for wet-aging. The larger producers tend to wet-age because no one has a fridge big enough to dry-age that many sides of beef.
Okay, so let's talk now about all of this work that you've done, this self-educating of beef and feeds and aging and the breeds and all this sort of stuff, obviously it was organic as you were learning, wow, why does this piece of beef taste so good? What is it about this cow? What is it about the way it was raised, it was slaughtered, it was fed, and so on and so forth, right?
Yes.
So before I ask you about the best tasting steaks, I have to ask you what the worst tasting steaks that you encountered were.
Oh, probably. You know, it's an interesting question. What is the worst? I had some really bad grass-fed beef. I got one. Actually, it was probably slightly grain-fed as well from a producer north, not far from where I live. It was a sirloin. This guy was not doing it properly. When you let cattle out to eat grass, it's and fatten on grass. It's really not as simple as just opening the gate to the pasture and letting them out. You've got to rotate them. You've got to plant certain kinds of grass. You've got to plan exactly when you're going to move the cattle from field to field. This guy was just letting them out, and he was crossing his Angus with continental breeds, which tend not to do well on grass. He was killing them too early. They weren't fat enough. I bought a sirloin steak, and I almost died. I cut a chunk, and I put it, you know, I put it in my mouth, started to chew it. It wasn't really that chewable. I probably should have spat it out, but for some reason I thought, I'll try and swallow this. And it got caught in my throat.
Oh, my God.
And the thing that saved me was that it was so sinewy that there was still this little trail of sinew on my tongue, and I was able to reach in and pull the thing out. Like a tea bag. And had it not been for that, I mean, honestly, I don't know what would have happened.
I've actually seen someone do that. I was at a state fair one time when a young lady that I was with took a bite off of a steak on a stick, which is like a piece of skirt steak, and she went to chew it, and it was so rubbery, it literally ricocheted off the back of her throat and got stuck down in her, where the esophagus meets the stomach. And she had to go to the doctors, and they had to use one of those things that they scope you with to just push it out. And the doctor said it sounded like a cork popping when he pushed it through.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's terrible.
And I get annoyed at these producers because they give grass-fed beef a bad name.
Yeah.
And it's they got to stop.
Okay.
They're hurting their own business, and they're hurting other people's business.
Okay.
So that was some of the worst. But you know what I also really dislike, though, is just the average everyday commodity beef. It doesn't taste
bad,
but it has no flavor.
It tastes like nothing. Yes, exactly. It has no flavor.
It's fatty and cloying, and you feel like crap after you've eaten half of it.
I got to tell you the truth. I feel the same way about avocados right now. I remember as a young boy eating avocados, and they had a rich, almost olive oil-type flavor to them, and now they don't taste like anything. Everything is getting like that. It's just sad because our food is a shadow of what it used to be.
All of it.
And chicken, you pick it. Anything.
Absolutely. And I've been doing a lot of research on this, and it's a subject I'm planning on writing another book about because I think it's a crisis. And people don't realize. I mean, I guess I'm old enough that I can start saying young people today, but there's an awful lot of people. I would say, you know, 98% of North Americans don't know what chicken tastes like.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe more. Like, you'd have to pick the cutoff date. It's right around the 1950s that chicken really started to change. And people born before that, or born after that, just don't know. They've never had it.
Talk about the different types of grass that grass-fed cows tend to do better on. You talk about in the book sweet grass farm beef. You also talk about tall grass. And then there's another one that I learned about. When this is especially from the milk-producing side, fast-growing grass, which tends to have a lot more nutrients in it, and it passes through to the milk. I have to believe it influences the beef as well.
It does. There's a kind of a growth curve to grass. At the beginning it's slow, and at the end it's slow, and in the middle there's this kind of growth spurt when it's really tender and there's lots of sugar in it, and that's what you want the cattle to be on, is that sugary, tender, delicious grass. And that's why you kind of time your field so that each different field is coming into its prime, so you move your cattle to hit that really awesome grass. And you move it at a certain time. You wait till after lunch so that the grass can be photosynthesizing all morning, so that it's really sugary and there's these tender blades that are emerging, and then your cattle hit it and they get the best stuff. And they're not there for too long. They kind of eat off the first several inches and then move to another field. So, you know, when you say cattle are eating grass, it's very complicated. It's grass isn't just grass. There's rye grass. There's timothy, there's brome, there's legumes like alfalfa and birdsfoot trefoil and clover, there's brassicas. I mean, you see the diversity of the natural world, and that's an important word because monocultures are dangerous, and in good pasture cattle are eating a variety of different plants. And that also shows up. I mean, that's something you can literally taste. Like you don't eat a steak and go, wow, you can really taste the clover. It's nothing that direct, but the more that goes in, the more profound the effect will be on the flavor of the beef.
You know, it's interesting. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, we've come a long way in a short period of time. You know, 7 years ago, I first started banging the drum about the importance of eating animal proteins from animals fed natural diets. Now we're coming to the point where just having access to grass-fed beef is a wonderful thing. Now we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to know what makes a great tasting piece of grass-fed beef, which means that it's going to influence the way we buy. Like, I'm thinking of the things that I want to talk to my farmer about, Jay, you know, from this discussion. So now I'm going to say to him, hey, you know, Jay, tell me how you rotate your cow. I'm going to start asking questions. I'm going to say, well, you know, this is what I want because I'm about to buy a half of a cow from him.
Well, okay, ask him, you know, I would love to help you with this. Ask him what age he's slaughtering it at, what time of year, and how much it weighs, because these are all important questions. And it's going to have, I mean, you want that side of beef to be the best it absolutely can be.
Yeah, because I'm going to be eating it for a long time.
That's right.
I don't want
that'd last me at least a week.
I don't want to end up with that piece that gets stuck in your throat for every day for the next year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And this is going to be something we get better and better at. I mean, we're already getting better. we've taken enormous strides. But, you know, think of the wine industry in this country, where it was in the 60s versus where it is now.
I know. I agree. I just came back from a vacation at Napa. I had a great time. I have to tell you something. All right, listen, let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want you to drop the bomb about the best tasting steak that you had, where it was. We're talking with Mark Schatzker. His book is a great book. You know, I realize why I love this book now, because it's going to help me be a better consumer of something that I already know is very important to my life, and that is grass-fed beef. Steak, one man's search for the world's tastiest piece of beef. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll be right back. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. I have never endorsed a training guide before. The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Mark Schatzker. His journey to finding the tastiest, the world's tastiest piece of beef, is documented in his book, Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. You can get it at Amazon.com. Okay, Mark, so where did you find the tastiest piece of beef? Was it abroad? Was it in your home Canada? Was it in the United States? Where was it?
Well, the answer is yes. Yes to all. In the book, and my journey's continued after the book, but there's three particularly awesome steaks in the book. One was a ribeye from a Scottish Highland. That's a breed you know, actually quite different from Angus. One we don't hear a whole lot about. But I had a mind-bogglingly good steak from that breed up in Scotland. I had an unbelievably good steak in Argentina. And I also had a terrifically good steak, incredible life-changing steak in the Pasimaroy Valley of Utah at a place called Alder Spring. Alder Spring beef, it's, you know, you can order this stuff online. It is absolutely superb. Authentic grass-fed beef. The cattle are in the range country. As they're growing up, they get finished in the lush river valley. Incredibly good grass, incredibly good beef. But there's lots of options. Tall grass beef produces superb steak. It's, go to a farmer's market. People are doing it. It's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting easier and easier, which is the great news.
So you need to start asking, is this tall grass beef, grass-fed beef? Is this sweet grass, grass-fed beef? We need to start asking these questions, huh?
Absolutely. It's like buying a wine. It's you know, you don't go out and buy red wine. You don't just go to the counter and say, I'll have a bottle of red wine, please, and then just walk out with whatever he hands you.
No. You want a Cabernet from the Night Valley or, you know.
That's right. Yeah, and exactly. do you want a Brie or a Camembert or an Epoisse or an Irish cheddar? You don't just say, I'd like
cheese.
You know, a quarter pound of cheese, please.
Cheese, please.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, but you know what? Again, this is a very, very enjoyable interview for me because it shows that we are now really coming into our own, those of us who love and embrace grass-fed beef. And what did you discover about the health benefits of grass-fed beef? Obviously, that was not the thrust of your...
That was not, and I was prepared to walk away from this book saying the best beef in the world comes from cattle that are, you know, tortured and it'll give you a heart attack, but boy, does it taste good. But that's just not the case. The best-tasting beef comes from cattle that are treated very well, and comes from beef that's better for you. And this is a very happy, wonderful coincidence.
Well, is it a coincidence? Or is
no,
it
it's
actually,
not a coincidence.
I mean, it is
from a very superficial level, but of course it's not a coincidence. I mean, you know, your food contains information, biological information, that you sense with your mouth. And,
yes.
And that's why. I mean, that's the reason.
It's counterintuitive because of the civilization of the human animal. But the reality is that deep down inside of our DNA lurks these blueprints that still are active. And when you give them an opportunity to dictate, you find out that what is best for you also is what is most pleasurable for you.
Absolutely.
So, I love this. I love it. I think it's a great book.
It's a great story. And, you know, the future really is here. There's some phenomenal beef being produced in North America. Argentina is going in the wrong direction. They're ripping up their fields that for hundreds of years they've used to, you know, grow their legendary beef, and they're growing soybeans to send to China to fatten Chinese pigs. And it's a tragedy. Argentina isn't what it used to be. But we're, you know, we went down that road, and we're now coming back. So the world's a funny place, the way it works.
It's really, really sad. And, you know, on this show, we rail against genetically modified foods. And that's another problem that worries me now, that Monsanto has gotten the go-ahead from the Obama administration to now genetically engineer alfalfa.
And this is the problem for grass-fed ranchers.
Yeah, because they use
alfalfa. Because alfalfa is an important part of
their mix. Yeah, so now you're going to have genetically engineered foods in your mouth, whether you don't want them or not, because what people need to understand, and I got a question from somebody the other day about their daughter being allergic to breast milk.
Yeah.
And we know that cows that eat corn and grain pass those inflammatory lectins through in their milk to the people who then drink their milk. And if your child is allergic to your wife's breast milk, it's your wife's diet that needs to be examined.
Yes, and this is a myth. I mean, you know, a lot of pregnant women are careful about what they eat, but then the idea is, you know, once you've had the baby, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Have whatever you want. You've earned it. And it's, you know, you are what you eat, and breast milk directly reflects the diet of what the mother eats. There's countless studies in primates that prove this, so it's something that we all need to be aware of,
more cognizant of. But you know what? There is a groundswell. There's a grassroots effort, no pun intended, that my audience reaches people who are really finally getting tired of this type of stuff that ends up impacting our lives. And you've just educated us on grass-fed beef. I hope that people go out and get the book because there's a lot more to it than just what we're talking about. Mark also covers bison as well, right?
Yep. I talk about bison. I talk. And the lessons you can learn from this book apply to so many of the foods that we eat.
Yeah, like don't buy eggs or chicken that live on a vegetarian diet, because chickens eat worms. They're not vegetarians. Just for
absolutely
the record.
And chickens also eat grass. They don't process grass the way a cow does, but they do eat it, and they get lots of nutrients from it. It makes their yolks more yellow, and a chicken on pasture tastes like nothing else.
And buying chickens from your local family farm, when chickens lay eggs in the presence of a rooster, they have a higher degree of naturally occurring lecithin. They have a higher degree of follistatin. Follistatin has been directly linked to suppressing myostatin, which builds muscle. There's just, when you do it the way nature intended, that's the problem. Unfortunately, our brains have gotten us into trouble. We actually think that we're smarter than nature now. When you do things the way nature intended, that's when everything gets right with the world.
So. Yeah, and my message is you can taste that difference. All the other things to do with health and the environment, these are all very important, but is this really wonderful thing is that you can taste it.
Yeah.
And that's great. Your food tastes better. And that's, you know, you do it three times a day, right?
Good work, Mark. Great work, actually, with this book. Thank you so much for being on Superhuman Radio, too.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, so we also want to thank Dr. John Chrysler for coming on and talking about subcutaneous oil injections. For those of you who are on testosterone therapy and don't want to do intramuscular injections any longer, you don't have to. You can inject up to a cc, in my humble opinion, sub-Q. At least that's my personal experience. You can also learn more about Dr. Chrysler by going to allthingsmail.com, and he does consult. If he can't be your physician, he can be your advocate. And then also, thanks to Eric Potratz from Primordial Performance for coming on and talking about the differences between AndroMass and AndroBulk. And as you know, he said it on this show, there's a 25% discount when you use the coupon code CARL25, C-A-R-L-2-5. That 25% discount is in honor of me. So take advantage of it. These things do work in building strength and muscle. And, of course, thanks to Mark Schatzker, who, by the way, saved my life today, because the guest I was supposed to have on is stranded somewhere between Paris and Germany and couldn't be on, and Mark agreed to come on at a moment's notice. So thank you, and let's show him some superhuman radio love by getting his book, Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef, on Amazon.com. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.